So you've probably gathered already that it's the first Sunday in Advent today. And we've lit the candle. And Advent is a time of waiting and watching. Advent is a time of preparing for the birth of Christ. And Advent happens at this time of year, a time of year when I like to indulge in my favourite saying, "Aye, the nights are fair drawing in." I'd like sometimes to say it the day after Midsummer's Day, but I've restrained myself until this point this year. The nights are fair drawing in. It is getting darker and darker, and we know that it will get darker more for the next few weeks. And Advent happens in this darkness, and so it represents for us our sorrows and our troubles. It is in the midst and the depths of darkness that we hope for light. It is in the darkness that we can confess our need of God and that our need for God is great. And that is our need both personally and our need as a community. For there are many in our world and in our community and in our churches who face situations which are very difficult. Situations of devastation, whether that is through war and turmoil or through the death of a loved one. And situations in which they face a future which makes them fearful. And we wonder what the future might hold. I wonder how many of us struggle to find joy at this time of year when amidst all of the Christmas cheer around us, we wonder where is the joy. If that is how you feel, then Advent is for you. Because Advent looks at why God had to come. Advent recognizes the needs and hurts of our world. Advent takes the time to reflect. It doesn't jump straight to the happy ending, to the baby Jesus. But at the same time, in the midst of all of this, there is hope. And there is hope despite our difficulties. There is light, however fragile, shining in the darkness. So let's turn first of all to our Old Testament reading, where we have the prophet Isaiah calling out to God. Isaiah lived in times of trouble, trouble so bad that he and his followers and his people, they called out to God to come, to tear open the heavens and to come down. And we are invited to call on God too. Isaiah wanted God to come, God to intervene, God to put things right. And we can ask for that too. However, Isaiah knew that if God were to do that, if God were to come and the heavens to tear apart, well, the mountains would tremble. And they would do this at the sheer power and glory of God. No one could survive such a thing. But God had done this in the past. God had come to Moses and met with him on the mountain. Could he not do that again? God, come down to us. Well, God came to us, but not as Isaiah imagined. And then as we turn to our gospel reading, we hear these words, and they sound strange to our postmodern ears. But they do speak into the darkness of our lives, and they allow us to hope. In our reading, we have Jesus. He's already been talking to his closest disciples. He's been talking to Andrew and to Peter and James and John and telling them about the troubles which are to come. He has predicted the fall of Jerusalem when they would be conquered by the Romans. And he's predicted that this temple that they are sitting in, this beautiful place, would be completely ruined, and there would not be a single stone left unturned. He describes these events as horrific, and it would not just be for all the people it would be specific for his disciples as well. And they would be tried and found guilty, betrayed and beaten. And they were to expect suffering. And at the start of our reading in verse 24, Jesus says, in these days after that suffering, or after the anguish of these days, after all of the devastation, what happens after that? Well, they are to look up and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds. Could God coming down and tearing apart the heavens, could that look like the Son of Man coming on the clouds? Jesus speaks to the disciples about the suffering and this future that they face. And Jesus speaks into a world of suffering. Jesus speaks into our world of struggle. He pictures the sun darkening and the moon falling from the moon failing to give light and the stars falling from the sky. The powers in the heavens are shaken. And Jesus uses these images. He uses them to encourage his disciples and to encourage us. For we do not struggle on alone and unseen. The heavenly bodies falling from the skies tells us that what happens on earth is reflected in the heavens. God sees. God is very near. And God will come again to this place of suffering. And with his words, they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds. Jesus speaks to our imaginations and whispers words of hope to our cynical minds and to our parched souls. And through these words, God dares us to hope. To hope that Christ came, that Christ is coming, and that Christ will come again. Because God, Father, Son, and Spirit is an eternal God. A God who was, who is, and who will come again. There is no place in time or space where God is not present. God is from everlasting to everlasting. And that is Christ's message to us today. We are to wait for God to come. And we do wait, and we wish that God could intervene. We wait for an end to injustice. We wait for peace on earth. We wait for freedom from pain and freedom from fear. And we wait for a new day. But as we wait, what are we to do? What are we to do as we wait? What do we do with our today? Well, Jesus tells us that we are to look for the signs of God's presence with us. Look for them and see them and understand them. At this time of year when it is so dark, it is really quite difficult to imagine a bud in a tree about to burst open. That's what Jesus suggests. A fig tree in bud holds the promise that summer is near. Summer is almost here. And likewise, we have the promise that Christ is ever at the gate, about to enter. We understand the signs of impending summer. Can we look for the signs of God's kingdom here on earth? Of God's kingdom coming to us? Well, I've been looking for signs. I've seen signs of God's promise today here in the church. The signs of baby Louis is a sign of hope. And his baptism is God with us, Christ with us in that baptism. And there are signs of hope in the fair, which was on yesterday, as people got together and worked together and shared together in that time. There was one other sign that I think I saw during the week. I was browsing through the internet, as you do. It was my day off. And I came across photos which people had posted online. Photos posted in memory of the Australian cricketer Philip Hughes, who died from the blow of a cricket ball to his head. A tragic and senseless death for a young man doing what he loved. But these photos which I saw, these photos were of people, they had placed their cricket bats against walls and against fences. And some of them had placed their cricket cap on top of the bat. And some clubs had displayed rows of cricket bats and the caps on top of them. You may have seen these pictures. and there were bats which stood on their own in a field. In this simple act, people from all over the world stood in solidarity to mourn the death of this young man. And at the same time, they said together that they loved the game of cricket and that they would continue to play it. To see these photos and their similarities and their differences was profoundly moving, because people were united in their sorrow and united in their humanity. And perhaps in these images we saw a glimpse of God's kingdom on earth. This Advent, I would say to you to look for the signs of God being near. I would encourage you to take a moment each day to stop and to reflect and to look back over the day and to see signs of beauty and signs of hope. For these signs will encourage you amidst all the trouble in our world. So Jesus tells us in this world of darkness that we are to wait for God to come. And we are to wait with hope and expectancy and excitement at this time of year. So God encourages us and dares us to hope, dares us to use our imaginations, to open the eyes of our minds and hearts to see God at work. And he dares us to trust that we are loved by a God who sees our devastation, and by a God who holds our future, whatever that might bring. Glory be to God. Amen.